Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Hello and welcome to another Level Up Human Extra. This is our chance where we sort of delve a little bit deeper into the topics that we covered in the most recent episodes and do a bit of a current science review of what we've seen and captured us. And actually, to be utterly frank, it's just a time that Rachel and I can check in that we've not gone full The Shining. All work and no play does make Jack a dull boy. How are you keeping?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Yes, this is week, what I've decided to call N of lockdown, where I'm in southwest London with three primary school children to homeschool, and it's very challenging. They don't want to go to school, and I don't want to teach them.
I've given up on that, because like definitely, you know, you're seeing all sorts of things in social media and the media where people are acquiring all kinds of new skills and stuff. I'm going to leave all this knowing less. And I'm just coming to terms with that.
Yes, nobody's taking into account the amount of brain cells that I've lost through being screamed at by a five-year-old over the last N weeks.
So right now you can see that we're both surviving, but we have to get into the news. So what's happening right now? And I think actually I'd like to pick up kind of where we left off at the last Level Up Human news, because sure enough, Elon Musk is back in the news. And what you listeners do not know is that we, last time we were recording Level Up Human Extra, we talked about Elon Musk, and Rachel spent about three quarters of an hour telling me how dreamy he was, which he then cut out of the podcast. It was 90% swoon.
You know that none of this is making it in, don't you? There's really, all we're doing is exhaling into our microphones at the moment. None of this will make it in, because I don't want any more Musk watch on the podcast.
But Muskwatch, he's done something. He has done a tweet. So yesterday, in this case, that is the 1st of May. On the 1st of May, Elon Musk, boss of Tesla, wiped $14 billion. That's £11 billion off the car maker's value after tweeting its share price was too high. I mean, that is the level of responsible tweeting that you expect from presidents, not weird capitalist forward thinkers or whatever they are. I think this is the thing which is going to make him lose the space race. Has anything in the news grabbed you, Rachel?
Actually, something did grab me. And what I got sent an email by a lovely magazine called Aeon Magazine, which talks about science and philosophy and all sorts of things. And I really enjoy the writing that they do in there. And they linked to an article about how dogs can naturally detect changes in odorants in people with cancer. So dogs' sense of smell is 10,000 times better than ours. And dogs can pick up the changes that happen in human blood when that person has cancer naturally. And some companies are doing some research trying to create an electronic nose based on the dog's nose. And what they have to do is isolate which volatile organic compounds that the dogs are sniffing. What I was looking for was what the most recent news on this is, because this article was a few years old. And actually, I can't see what's going on in this field at the moment. There hasn't been anything in the news since last year. But I assume work is ongoing.
There has been. There's ongoing work using it to try and identify people who've got coronavirus, maybe even.
Oh, really?
So this technology is in use all the time. And sure enough, the one problem is that dogs are big and doggy and they take a long time to train and stuff. So a lot of the research has been trying to get things like bees to use it instead. So there's already bee kind of guns, effectively, where they measure bees putting out their tongues, for want of a better phrase, and crossing a laser line, breaking the pathway of that laser, and therefore telling if something's there or not, by making a bee associate nice, sweet, juicy, nectary, sugary solutions with certain smells. So I know that dogs are still kind of the pioneer stuff for this. In terms of finding like cancers and things that people might have, another really useful indicator that they've been studying for a long time is basically what makes your dog ill. So as we know, a lot of cancers and things are caused by like chemicals in your environment. If you discover that your dog has got bile cancer, for instance, then sometimes it's worthwhile seeing if the people in that household also have it. There is a correlation between those two things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like you're living in the same place, being exposed to similar chemicals. So there is a correlation that if a dog has like kidney failure, kidney whatever, you know, whatever the disease might be, because they're living alongside that human and being exposed to those same chemicals, it might well be that that's an indicator for other health problems that might exist in the house.
Right.
My story might be a little bit more fluffy or more accurately kind of scaly. Just if you're feeling a bit isolated in lockdown and you want to have some friends and you're looking to Skype someone or Zoom someone or whatever technology you'd like to use, there are some eels in Japan that want to see you.
How do you mean want to see you?
There are garden eels in a Tokyo aquarium and they have got this thing where they kind of poke out from a hole and they look around, and if they see something there, then they'll retreat, you know, try and get away from any predators or stuff. And over time, because I've had so many visitors to the aquarium, they've become habituated to humans. They've got used to seeing the humans and they no longer try and hide. But as there hasn't been any visitors for a while, these eels are now really shy. And anytime a human walks anywhere near their, what's the word for it? I was about to say cage. That's wrong.
Tank?
Tank. Jeez. Yeah, I told you, I'm leaving lockdown knowing less. Okay, if anything, a buddy approaches their tank.
It's very unusual for me to know something that Simon is searching to know on this podcast, but occasionally it's just because of a mind blank.
If a human approaches their tank now, they disappear. So the aquarium wants to keep these eels habituated to human presences, and so they've set up some computers.
They've set up a Zoom call.
Yes. You can go and see these eels live and help try and keep them used to humans.
I did see a headline the other day about how zoo animals are lonely now that they have no visitors.
Oh.
So it may not just be eels.
It's probably the same kind of thing. I think they could probably just make it better and stick these eels onto, like, I don't know, chat roulette or something. But then all the eels will probably just think they're seeing lots of other eels.
You obviously have a very different experience of chat roulette than I do.
I've no experience of chat roulette.
Of us have ever been on it. Obviously, we only know about it through watching other comedians' stand-up sets. Eels on chat roulette. Where do we go from here? That's the question. I want to talk about, maybe not eels, but lizards, actually, because we need to go through some of the stuff from what Steve Bagshaw was talking about on last week's episode about regeneration. Because it caused me to... I was very interested in how many different creatures can regenerate. And so I looked up what can regenerate, and we talked about planaria worms, and we talked about sponges, and there was some suggestion that if you sieve a sponge, it will still regenerate from its tiny pieces.
Well, the thing that's really, really cool about sponges is that they actually take it to one level further. Not only can they regenerate, they can reorganize and gather up those cells again. So it's a bit like, and I know this is a very 80s/90s reference, if you remember the T-1000 from Terminator 2, the way that it was liquid metal and it could sort of go through the bars of a cage and join up again.
Oh, it does that.
Yeah.
Great.
Sponges are Terminators.
Love it. I always thought there was something dodgy about my bath loofah. Would a loofah be a... loofahs don't regenerate.
A loofah is not a sponge.
Is it? That is a...
A loofah is...
taxonomy sort of issue going on with that joke.
Well, this is... No, the real reason why loofah is not a not a sponge is because it's actually a cucumber. Have I got that right?
Ah, well, that's interesting you should say that, because sea cucumbers are also regenerating.
But sea cucumbers are not cucumbers.
They're loofahs. Are they?
No. No, they're kind of starfish.
Oh, okay.
No, when I say a cucumber, I'm meaning like the plant.
Oh, you're saying a loofah is a cucumber?
Yeah, it's like a vegetable of some kind.
Okay.
I'm going to check out what it is now. Yeah, cucumber family. That's exactly right.
Okay, so because we've now confused all our listeners because of my jump.
No, not the listeners, just you.
Just
this
me.
Is all fine for us.
Okay, just to clarify just for myself then, what we're saying is that a loofah is a type of cucumber and that a sea cucumber is a type of...
Starfish.
Starfish.
Sort of, yeah.
And that sea cucumbers and starfish are two of the different types of creature that can regenerate.
Well, this is a tricky thing when we start talking about regeneration, because the simple answer is, in some ways, everything can. Like, it's just a form of growth, really.
Yeah, but a starfish can regenerate its entire body off of one arm.
Yeah, so here's the tricky bit, I suppose, which is there's regeneration which amounts to something which is the kind of healing we have, where if you cut yourself, the skin knows to turn into some more skin and it's kind of scar tissue. We can lose a bit of flesh, we can lose certain parts of us, and then they will regenerate fully. If you lose blood, of course, you get new blood replacing it, that kind of thing. What makes these other species special is that they seem to somehow know the rest of the body plan. If you cut off the arm of a salamander, it doesn't just scar over and make the kind of end point, it regrows the whole arm. It knows. It's like that part of the body can remember where it is enough to know what was on the other side of it.
This is the pluripotent stem cell Steve was talking about.
Yes, so pluripotent just means that you become a variety of things. And stem cells have got this capability. They're not limited in terms of what they can make. They've got the potential to become many other things. Their path is not defined.
But we know, don't we, that every cell in the body has the blueprints for the rest of the body in it, in the DNA.
There's some exceptions. There's a few things in your body which don't have nuclei, like most of your blood cells.
Okay, so your blood cells don't have nuclei, but the cells that do have nuclei have the blueprints for your entire body in them. So in theory, the instructions are there to allow us to regenerate.
Yeah, the instructions are present, but there has to be something which keeps everything in line. Like, what we're really looking for here is like a strict mistress or mister which tells those cells, right, you're going to be some skin, that's all you're going to be, don't get any dreams of being a bladder or anything like that, know your place. Because if that doesn't happen, if they aren't kept in line, you end up with things a bit like... Oh, there's a really horrible cancer called, I'm going to get the name wrong here, it's teratoma carcinoma. If you translate it literally, it means monster cancer. And these are cancers of stem cells, which end up like having things like heart tissue. So they can beat, they can move, they've got teeth, they've got hair, they can have whole nervous systems. They're just little monsters. So you need something which tells your body, be what it is. But then you must also have some kind of mechanism, or these regenerative creatures have some mechanism of knowing, okay, I've been injured, so switch on the bit which says that this skin cell, which is next to an injury, doesn't necessarily have to end up being another skin cell. So it can allow it to become bone, to start making muscle, to start making the rest of the stuff. Or in the case of something like a planarian, that kind of weird aquatic flatworm that we talked about, practically everything.
So Steve said that a planarian worm can regenerate its entire body from 1/300th of itself. Say you were to cut it into 300 pieces, all of it.
Yeah, those, buy one, get 300.
You would get 300 planarian worms.
It's not quite like that. And you have to be cutting in the right kind of part. And it is because I think over 50% of their body is stem cells. Like, that seems to be a large part of it, is that these stem cells are active all the time.
Ah, so I think we're honing in here on our problem. So the human body is deficient in comparison to creatures that regenerate because it doesn't have enough stem cells.
Maybe, because there's more complex things than that. Like, salamanders and stuff do not have that same kind of level of stem cell, but they seem to have the ability to turn normal cells into stem cells. That seems to be the critical part, maybe.
Ah, okay. So we need more flexible cells that can turn into stem cells when we need them to.
So the real question is, what does that involve? Is it a way of making that mistress or mister that we talked about earlier less strict?
It's very strange, this analogy you've come up with. I'm thinking of like Mr. Bunbury out of Oliver Twist sort of being in charge of all of the cells and ordering them hither and thither. Is that how it works?
I'm glad that's what's in your head, because I went like straight to leather-clad dominatrix
dominator.
I have no idea what the gender non-specific dominatrix is. Dominator? Dominican? That's really not right. It'd be master and mistress, wouldn't it? Is there a non-binary version?
I'm not sure. It's not something that I've ever thought about. I'm going to have to give this some thought as to what that would be. But I think...
There'll be a website out there for you, Rachel.
Of course
just
there will.
Stick on private browsing before you find out.
I'll let you know. I don't know what the gender non-specific version of master or mistress is in a dominatrix setting. And I need some listeners to get in touch and tell us what that would be. Because some of them... and I'm looking at specific ones in particular, and you know who you are, need to get in touch and tell us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, all the same, this is not really helping with our analogy, but what I'm meaning is that there seems to be some genetic control which places limitations and tells our cells not to get out of hand. And it might be that we have to switch off those control mechanisms to enable them to become something else. The difficulty, as Steve pointed out, is that in a lot of cases, those also seem to be the same genes that are active when we have cancers. So one of the weirdest bits, one of the scariest bits about cancer cells is that they are born of us. You know, your cancer is not the same as my cancer, which is not the same as somebody else's cancer. It's something which evolves uniquely within us as some of our cells go rogue and say, that's it, I'm going my own way, I will be immortal. So these immortal cells kill us. It's like the ultimate irony. It's kind of like Highlander.
I don't know what Highlander is.
Oh, it's another, again, very specific 80s movie reference.
Okay.
Where the immortals are all killing each other. You can kill an immortal if you remove their head. Massive spoilers there for 1980s films.
I mean, it's an absolute classic way to get rid of your problems, actually. This is what happens in Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz? Hot Fuzz. I'm going to say Hot Fuzz. That's the one with the zombie apocalypse, isn't it, with Simon Pegg? And the way to kill the zombies in that is to...
No, that's Shaun.
Shaun of the Dead. Right, that's what I'm trying to think of.
So not only is it not Hot Fuss or Hot Fuzz, it's Shaun of the Dead.
It's the other one, because I'm thinking of the second one in the Cornetto trilogy, or whatever they call it. Shaun of the Dead, the way to kill the zombies in Shaun of the Dead is to remove the head or destroy the brain.
That's the case in most zombie movies. I mean, Shaun of the Dead didn't come up with that.
That would kill most things, wouldn't it?
Yeah, which is actually another one of the questions which is interesting here. Like, if these planarians and these salamanders are so invincible, why are they not everywhere?
I suppose because they can only live in certain environments. And also because they've got big hairy brutes like us smashing up their habitats, haven't we?
Yeah. And yeah, that's, I suppose, the whole key here is that being, having certain parts of you which recover doesn't mean that all of you can. So there must be some cells which are more fundamental. And I know some salamanders can repair parts of their spine, parts of their brain, parts of their skull. I'm unaware if they can repair their heart or something like that. I'll have to do a bit more research and find out. It might be that there's still certain parts of the body which are critical. And if you think about the way they say that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, our body is only ever as strong as its weakest organ.
That's true. I've also been thinking about what Kate Storrs was saying about being able to see the polarisation of light. And I've been looking out of my window, because I'm not allowed out of the house, but on my state-sponsored walk, and inside my house, I've been looking out of the window, looking for bow ties in the sky, and I cannot see any evidence that I am one of the chosen people who can see the polarisation of light. Have you done any better?
I have not even tried. I just love your phrase there, state-sponsored walk. I'm imagining you going up to number 10 with a little sheet of paper, knocking on the door and saying, will you give me 5p per mile?
Maybe when I say state-sponsored, I actually mean state-sanctioned. I think that's what I meant to say. My state's... I mean, we're both going completely mad at this point. There's really no getting around it. We both need to see more people and speak to more humans, preferably ones that are not under the age of 10.
I'm fine. I've been chatting with some eels.
Have you checked in with the eels?
Yeah, they're still there.
So you have been
to see
them?
Yeah, there wasn't much conversation.
Okay.
Well, we didn't talk any much because they're Japanese, after all, so we don't speak the same language.
Fair. Yeah,
this
I mean...
This got very silly, Rachel.
If your only company is some Japanese eels and your kids and your missus, obviously, and...
I would choose the eels every time. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not saying what you would choose every time. I'm just saying if this is the selection of... And then you've got me to talk to once a week and that's it.
One of the things that seems to be surprising is that there's not necessarily one route to regeneration. So another thing which has come up in the podcast before is we've talked about the immortal jellyfish, which uses its kind of pluripotency, this ability to become lots of different cells, as a stress test. And if it's a... Well, the first thing we have to remember is jellyfish, they come in kind of two forms. They start off as these little polyps and then they grow up to be Medusa. That's the version that we all know and love. Does anyone love a jellyfish? Anyway, well, if we can imagine that, if this jellyfish is put under stress, it kind of reverts to its polyp form and it can change all of its cells back to that kind of infantile state. So they've got that potential to grow up to become whole other new Medusa. So it oscillates. It goes from old to young, old to young, old to young. And that's effectively regeneration, but by a completely different mechanism. Regeneration in some ways must be relatively simple because it must be related to growth. It's just making it make sense. Like the potential must be within us somehow. But
it actually makes a fair amount of sense to be able to have a limb chopped off and regenerate it, but to regress into infantile form is an extraordinary thing to be able to do. Can you imagine if you had like something scared you and you woke up at the next day at the age of 6 and then you had to go into work and say, yeah, I'm sorry that I'm clearly not myself today, but what happened was that this person jump scared me in my kitchen and gave me a terrible shock, and I had heart palpitations, and then I woke up this morning and here I am at the age of 6. And then do you then have to age naturally back to your normal age before you can carry on your job as an account executive at an advertising company? I mean, how does this work?
What you've just described still sounds better than the film Benjamin Button. The reasons Medusa are doing this are the key. So that if you're under stress, maybe the things that you need to survive as an adult are very different than you need to survive as a polyp.
Ah, you know? Yes.
The polyps are teeny tiny. And it also means it's effectively like a last ditch attempt of reproduction, because you're not just turning yourself back into that polyp. You're turning all those cells, all those different parts of you, into polyps. So it's kind of like, I'm panicked. I'm going to reduce my needs and I'm going to turn loads of bits of me into different clones.
I feel like this all the time, to be honest. I think it's something we could do with. I think it might be quite useful if you're having a difficult time for you to physically look like a much younger version of yourself.
You'll also have the clones. So what it'll be is, someone's frightened, Rachel. Now we've got three of them and they're toddlers.
Maybe that's how my kids actually happened. A lot of the last 10 years is a bit of a blur and I can't be sure that that's not actually what happened. Interesting. If we could regenerate organs, would we extend our lifespan? And if so, by how much?
Well, the simple answer is yes, regenerating our own organs will and potentially sort of forever. Again, this doesn't necessarily make us invulnerable. So if you think of things, whether the kind of current accident rate or the things which can come along and kill us, even being biologically immortal does not mean that you live forever, because eventually you'll do something stupid. Or, of course, again, what we have to acknowledge is that we're in a world where things are out to get us. That is nature's way. So just because we have the ability to repair doesn't mean that, say, something nasty, like be it a flu or an articulated lorry, isn't going to change it.
Yes. So we're not going to live forever because something will happen eventually, but it might mean that we can live for maybe five times as long.
Yeah. And if you're careful, even longer.
Which would
I'm never going outside again.
Great for you, who genuinely wants to live forever for who knows what reason, and terrible for me, who can't wait for the end. That's a joke I've stolen off Holly Walsh, who said it on the podcast she was on. So I shouldn't have done that. Anyway.
Maybe we should ask the question of one of the main areas of research for this seems to be focused on things like the axolotl and the salamander family in general. What is it about salamanders and amphibians that makes them so particularly good at this? Why might they need to be able to regenerate? And I think I might have a kind of weird answer. And I don't know if the research has been done on this, so this is entirely unfounded. This has not been peer-reviewed. I wonder if this in any way connects to their ability to metamorphose. So whenever you go through metamorphosis, you effectively have to redesign your body plan. Mm-hmm. You can be doing things like switching ecologies. Like you've got a teeny tiny tadpole which lives all the time under the water and eats things like pondweed. And then you grow up to be a big, beautiful frog, which is massively carnivorous and eats rats or something. Who knows? So if you're going to have this go through this stage of massive change, you're switching ecology, you're switching body plan, maybe you just kind of retain that ability as life goes on. You had to reach 6-7 months old before building an arm in the first place. Maybe you just retain that ability.
That makes sense.
Well, that's idly spitballing, and it does not explain why things like some lizards can regrow certain parts. But importantly, like say those lizards that regrow their tails, they're not regrowing all their body. They're only regrowing the bit that they've had to evolve to drop for a different reason, you know, to leave something behind so a predator or a bird or something has grabbed it, is no longer holding the whole lizard.
I read an interesting thing about this, which is that it's not just that something's grabbed it and therefore the lizard can get away. It's also that they can drop the tail before the predator actually gets hold of it and the tail will continue to move, which will distract the predator.
Ah, the movement. I didn't know that part. That's cool. Because I knew there was something along the lines of actually, is the predator going to bother chasing the full hot dog or go for the cocktail sausage that's been left behind?
Right.
You know, a sausage in the hand is worth two in the bush, as they say.
They do. There is that popular idiom, isn't there? But apparently, as far as you can say, part of the reason, part of it is that the tail continues to move, which means that it looks like the predator's still locked on to the thing it was chasing in the first place, whereas actually it's hidden under a rock.
That is brilliant. I would love that, because if I could use that, where like I had a tail, if I had a bum basically, which could still continue shaking, right? That would mean that I could go to a wedding, do the obligatory dancing while spending the rest of the time just reading a book.
You could leave your bum to dance on the dance floor and you could go and eat cocktail sausages in the buffet table.
That is entirely my plan here.
That's an excellent... I think that's the answer, isn't it? Of all the things we've ever come up with on Level Up Human, the self-jiving bum is absolutely, we've excelled ourselves. Well done.
So if you want some more Simon in your life, Johnny Berlin and I are still doing our pub quiz fairly regularly. Look out for Universally Challenged, or basically follow me on Twitter and you'll see all kinds of weird things I'm doing. My handle is Simon D. Watt.
And if you're enjoying the podcast, you can support us on patreon.com/levelup human, where you can join us as a tardigrade, axolotl, octopus, glass frog, sperm whale, or...
Surely the sperm whale's the biggest.
Naked mole rat.
Is that the top one, naked mole rat?
I haven't done those in order, but those are the 6 tiers available. Sperm whale is the highest tier.
What is the order? Because it has to make sense in some kind of top Trump style.
Okay, the order is tardigrade, glass frog.
Just because they're tiny?
Yes, okay. Just because they're tiny. Glass frog. It sort of goes upwards in size, but not really. So it goes tardigrade, glass frog, octopus, axolotl, naked mole rat, sperm whale. Depending on which species and which type you look at, that sort of goes up in size order. But look, I'm prepared to rearrange them. I have no shame. If you think we've missed something, or if you think that order is incorrect, or if you look at the tiers and you think these bear no relation to the rewards you're offering with them, why doesn't the naked roll rat come with wrinkle-free skin? Or why doesn't the tardigrade come with the ability to survive in the vacuum of space? Which actually I should adjust them to do that. Then get in touch. You can email me directly, rach@rachelwheely.com, or you can tweet us @levelup human.
I think we should do it that if you're a glass frog, you get full transparency and you can see all the bits we got wrong.
Yes, that's great. I should definitely add comedy bullet points to the Patreon tiers. Anyway, that's enough from us. Thank you very much indeed for listening, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Oh, and get in touch, actually, because we still need your suggestions. While we're in lockdown and don't have a live audience, if you've got an idea for improving the human body, be it sincere or silly, be it stupid or fantastic, please get in touch. We're on Twitter @leveluphuman, or get in touch with Valerie and Rachel individually. It's lovely talking to you.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Physiological Society. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.